Hello and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads, and this is the collector segment. For this, I'm working on a lot of Marvel stuff still. Have some really high grade copies, very fine copies of Avengers. I have Avengers 116, which has the Silver Surfer on the cover attacking the Vision. And Silver Surfer says, "Where strikes the Silver Surfer, there falls an enemy to his doom." And Scarlet Witch is saying, "Vision, no, no, don't fall into the volcano. It's Avenger versus Defender to the death." We have Avengers 127, which is the Fantastic Four and the Inhumans take it from us. This one has it all. Havoc in the Hidden Land. Has Thor on the cover, Thing on the cover, Vision on the cover, Black Bolt, and the Torch. Nice cover. This one, I really like the way this looks. This is Avengers 136. Has the Beast over Iron Man and says, "I did it. I killed Iron Man. It had to happen. This is the one you won't miss." Shattering Special, one Avenger dead. Avengers 141 has the Beast coming in between a fight between the Squadron Sinister and the Avengers. Really cool cover. You have the Avengers on one side and the Squadron Sinister on the other. Enough said. Avengers 143. These are all like 9.0 copies. It has Avengers Assemble. Beast is coming in along with Iron Man and Cap and Vision. It says, "At last the battle against the power of Kang. Avengers break loose." These ones are very interesting, and I couldn't pass them up. If you look at them from if you're looking at them from the content of the book and the covers and the back of the cover, they look like near mint copies. But here's the thing: the owner of these books took out the staples, and that really degrades a book. But if I showed you these covers, you'd say, you know, very fine 9.0 or fine plus. So this is Fantastic Four 39. It has Doctor Doom overlooking the Fantastic Four with Daredevil. And there's an interesting poster in the background. It has the Marvel Marching Society. The Merry Marvel Marching Society wants you. And it says, "A blind man shall lead them." That's the title of the story. I got a Fantastic Four number 41, The Betrayal of Ben Grimm. Possibly the most daringly dramatic development in the field of contemporary literature. Oh man, that makes me want to read it. It's also got the Frightful Four on the bottom of the cover, and it has Ben facing his peers, Mr. Fantastic, Invisible Woman, and Johnny Storm. Number 43, the title is Though There Shall Be an Ending, and it has the Fantastic Four decimated on the ground with a lot of parts of equipment. Fantastic Four 44 is, his name is Gorgon, What a Way to Spend a Honeymoon, and it's got Medusa crushing the Fantastic Four and Dragon Man blowing fire, and of course Gorgon smashing the floor on the roof of a building. We have Thor 171, really high grade copy, like a 9.0, and it has one of my favorite characters, Crushing Thor, the Wrecker, the Wrath of the Wrecker. We have 172, beautiful cover. I love this cover. It has Thor fighting, I don't even know who this guy is, but it's the Menace of the Mind Slave. And it's like Thor and the Mind Slave are on a sleeping contraption, sleeping and fighting in their dreams. And it says, "Surprise, Jane Foster in this issue." And it has a circle, and it has a picture of Jane Foster. Love this cover too. Thor 186. Defeated by the goddess of death, the time has come to die. Hela, do not cast thy spell. Thor must not perish now, for if I fall, then who will stop the murder of the universe by the world of beyond? And it shows Thor aging. You know, he starts off young and then gets to a decrepit old man who can't even stand anymore. It says, never such thrills, never such wonder, never such an epic as the world's at war. And that wraps that up. Thank you, and we'll get back to Mike M's Weekly Reads. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's. Oh, I'm using the computer. Interesting. I think I'm going to keep going with it. See how it comes out. Instead of the headsets, I'm just recording directly into the computer speakers, which means I won't be able to walk around, but we'll see how this goes. So yeah, I've taken a couple weeks off because of a lot of stuff going on, but I'm back, and now I'm trying to do a cleaning of my printer, and that's weird, it sucked in paper. I don't know why it did that. But anyway, why I was cleaning the printer is because I wanted to print out a list from Comic Base, because there's a lot of new collections that my comic shop obtained. This one guy keeps on bringing like old 9.0 Marvel comics. I mean, they're in pristine condition. And some of the ones that I've picked up recently are the Werewolf by Nights. I'll have a full run of that pretty soon. I picked up a lot of Ghost Rider, even the Danny Ketch stuff. I'm going to pick up my first Golden Age Alan Scott comic very soon. And I may get a Jay Garrick Golden Age comic, but a Flash Comics. If price comes in well enough, even with my 50% discount, they're quite a bit. But anyway, the couple of things I wanted to talk about. Valiant Harbinger Renegade. I should have talked about this a long time ago, because I felt kind of bad because I was being in a pissy mood. And I sent Dinesh emails because I like to pre-order my shit. And they announced the coupons for Harbinger Renegade about a month and a half after I've already put in my pre-order. And, you know, with today's instant Twitters, if you're not thinking clearly, you say, hey, Dinesh, what's up? Why didn't you solicit this? So I could have ordered multiple copies so I could rip a coupon out, and then, this is not logical, Mike, rip a coupon out, send away for my book for them, and then keep one in pristine condition. And I like when they say in pre-orders, hey, this has a coupon, so you could... And then I thought about it after I bitched and complained for a lot. And I'm like, why do I really need a book with a coupon in it? I mean, I don't sell my shit. So what is that doing? I don't know. And then... logic, you know, you could send an email to DCBS, and I did, and they added one more copy to mine, because I just wanted one more copy. And then I pre-ordered number two, which I still could pre-order and say I wanted two copies. Because you send away four coupons and $10, and you'll get a Harbinger 2 Wars. There was a Harbinger Wars already, and this is going to be a prequel, and it might have something to do with the movie, which I could care two shits about, even though I did watch the web. I didn't expect to see the web stuff, but during New York Comic Con, that they solicit the Ninjak series, and I thought it was great. I mean, I thought it was a wonderfully produced. I'll watch a web series, I think, if I get notified that an episode is out, I'll go click on the YouTubes and watch it. On my computer, probably, or my
device of some sort. But, yeah, I apologize to Dinesh for being such a punk ass. And then I read Harbinger Renegades because the book has come out since. And I was surprised that my comic shop got a copy of it because I bought another copy just so I could read it. And it was fantastic. Like, it was, it hit a lot of things that I'd like in a Harbinger comic. It's definitely not dice art, but my brain can shift. But he takes the characters and he broke them down into what we all know about them, and they didn't seem out of place. So there was some really good characterization. There was a really good story. Rafer Roberts did a good job. I'm impressed by this guy. I'm enjoying ANA. So, yeah, they seem to be a lot of people complaining about it, but it gets my vote. So I am happy that I already read it. I highly recommend that you read it. I might even do a Valiant Verses on it. Like, I did a Valiant Verses Poison Ivy versus Faith, and I'd like to do a Valiant versus maybe Harbinger Renegades and Avengers or something like that, because Avengers just relaunched. I could probably tell you who'd already win, but I haven't read Avengers number one, but I really should this weekend. So apologies to me doing instant gratification and not thinking things straight when the logical Mike would say, what do you even care about it, you know? If I was a speculator and wanted it, I still think it would be a good idea to solicit it. And their logic was they didn't want to solicit it because they didn't know the name of it, and they didn't want to release the name of it until the movie announcement or something like that. They had moved Harbinger before Bloodshot, I believe. And this might have something to do with it and the announcement of Harbinger Wars 2. And they didn't want to do that. But Marvel does all this shit all the time where they will put an ad in the preview so you at least know that it's something. And then they'll black out the cover and say classified. So they could have said, and I think they would have sold at least more copies to those that pre-order. Because if they saw that there was a coupon in there, for a book, a send-away book, and they said it's classified, it might have even brought in more speculators, and they would have bought, oh, maybe I want 10 copies. And then most fans, I think, want to get the book and then want one pristine copy. At least that's my thinking. And then, solicited, they'd have not doubled, but they would have got at least a quarter more sales, really, on this first book. But having said that, they did really well with the sales on this. It's even going into a second print. So if you didn't get a first print, you can get a second print. The coupon will be in the second print. So you could still send away for your number zero, which I'm kind of excited for. And then you got the digital people, and I don't know if this is going to be the case, but if they were smart, they could say, hey, if you buy these digital on Comixology after you've bought four of them at full price, you could pay $10 and get a digital copy of this. And then they would have got all the digital consumers, and then you'd keep everybody satisfied, I think. At least the digital people can't complain. But I think it's going to be exclusive to print. I have heard that from the Valiant Central guys, where I get all my Valiant news, those guys are hitting 100 episodes. That's a big milestone. So wish them well. Martin and Paul, you've done well. I feel like that I had something to do with them. podcasting, at least because we were doing Valiant podcasts, so maybe we influenced them a little bit to do their own and go way beyond where we went. I would still love to do a Valiant podcast. It's just time, and when Gotham by Geeks came up, it took the one slot that my availability. But I still want to get back to my Valiant Versus, because that is a hell of a lot of fun. But probably not till the new year, and I want to somehow bank those episodes so I can relaunch it and have some kind of regular schedule. Harley's knocking at the door, so I'll be shouting a little bit because I'm using my computer mic and not my headset. So that's what I wanted to say on the Valiant front, and not too happy about what's happening to my Catwoman in Tom King's Batman, but it's well told, and I can't really complain about the story. I just don't like a certain element of it. It's bothering me, but I shouldn't let that bother me. Maybe I'm getting old, but get off of my lawn. The other thing I wanted to talk about is, man, I've gotten into collected editions. The Epic Collection has really won me over, and I'm getting every single one. I'll be close, and I need to pick up some back ones that are kind of out of stock, so I'm trying to fill that in. And I even want to take it to the Star Wars, even though I have most of that stuff. But I want to double dip. I want to actually have a full trade collection of something. Like, if I could go back and collect all the showcases or the Marvel Essentials, I think I would. But that'd be a lot of fucking space of books. But I'm really into the Marvel Epic line, really digging it. I always usually get the omnibuses. Not of the current stuff, but if it's classic, I'll do it. Or 90s even, I'll do it. If it's something of the current. Although I really wish I had the Annihilation Omnibus, because that is such a good space opera. Love that thing. And then I have all of the omnibuses that DC is putting out in this like new wave. You know, they're doing Golden Age and Silver Age books. I have all of those. I've been on to a lot of the Batman trades. The Nightwing, the Birds of Prey, Robin, some of the Batmans. The one I'm really enjoying, loving the shit out of this one, is the Arkham Asylum : Villain books. I just finished the Killer Croc, and I love this. I most of this stuff I've reread, but man, reading it, and one thing I like about it is somebody put the time and effort to say, I'm going to put some key Killer Croc books into this collection, and they do it for Scarecrow, and they do it for Two-Face, and there's so many others. Man-Bat is on its way. I haven't seen a Penguin yet, which I'm really looking forward to. There is no Joker one, because I think when they released the 75-year volumes, they had 75 years of the Joker, so that's kind of like that. And then they had the Catwoman 75 years, which I also purchased. So I did buy those 75 years Batman. I got the Batman, the Robin, the Catwoman. I got several others, like Wonder Woman and Aquaman. But those in the Batman realm, that's what I got. But these Arkham Asylum trades are just freaking awesome. Really awesome to dig into. They released a trade on the Son of Satan, which I think should have been... I would have loved it to have the same epic binding, because it really looks like an epic book, but it's not. But I have always, in college... Well, when I was young, off the spinner rack, Defenders, and there was early issues of Defenders where I saw Damian Hellstrom, and I was just fascinated that this was the son of the devil, you know. I was like, man, this guy has powers and he's fighting for good and stuff, and I kept reading Defenders. Defenders was always really special to me. And then he had some like issues later on of his own book, Hellstrom, I think it was. And I always get those, but this was a collection of that. Really, really awesome. put together a package. So I've been increasing my volume of collected editions for sure, as well as in taking a lot of older comics. You got some stuff coming up where I'll talk about some recent purchases, and I've spent some money on some key appearances, you know, first appearances of characters. And one of my big purchases was Giant Size X-Men, which I never even thought I'd have, but the opportunity came and things were aligned. And I have a Giant Size X-Men and pretty much like maybe fine plus, maybe V, very fine minus. Really nice copy. But let's get on with the weekly read. So I've been really behind, but we're going to take off where we left off. This was July 25th through July 31st. And again, to refresh your memory, 5 is I love it, 4 is I really like it, 3 is I like it, and 2 is did not like it, 1 is I hated it. And for this particular week, I had 28 total comics, 1 Zenoscope, 5 Marvel, 2 Image, 18 DC, 1 Boundless, and 1 Aftershock. So we'll start at the bottom. I think we talked about this in Geek Brunch. I think this is a Geek Brunch week. I'm pretty sure we talked about it, several of these books. But Snot Girl was at the bottom at a 3 out of 5. And it almost made it a 2 out of 5 just because it wasn't my cup of tea. But then there was just some weird stuff in there that kind of hooked me in just a little bit. But then I decided to drop the book anyway. But I still have issues 2 and I may have number 3. So if it wins me over in those two, I'll be back issue hunting. But there was Snot Girl. There was another 3 out of 5 was Belladonna from Boundless Entertainment. It's a Red Sonja-like character created by Brian Polito. Brian Polito lost a lot of his characters, and various companies like Dynamite and Boundless have been publishing them. The only one that he was able to keep was Lady Death, but like Evil Ernie's at Dynamite and some of the other Chaos Purgatory and some of the others are out there on, you know, in Dynamite books. But it was a pretty good issue. It's had some ridiculous things in it. There's a lot of nudity in the Boundless books, and a lot of sex, and Harley's playing with a football that she got in her mysterious bark box. So if you hear her in the back, she's playing with a Tofurky football, which is appropriate for the time of holiday. At a 3 out of 5, this is really interesting because I'm so far behind in recording these. It's really interesting to see where we are now because I'm keeping up with a lot of DC. Well, it's Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps got a 3 out of 5. And that was when Hal was captured and Sinestro was on Warworld, absorbs Parallax to become young again. And this series has become a 5 out of 5. So what's really interesting is it what I think in this series is it's been a build-up for me. Like early issues were like 3s and then he got into the, you know, 4s. And then I was like, oh, this is really good, 4 out of 5. And then it went to 5 out of 5. And it's pretty much stayed there. So that was Hal Jordan in the Green Lantern Corps number 1. Another 3 out of 5 is Nightwing number 1. I wasn't real too crazy about this. This is Dick Grayson working with the Court of Owls undercover. And they've already wrapped that storyline up with Rapture. The new arc has Superman on the cover. So I'll look forward to reading to see where they're changing this title. This series has been kind of up and down. Not my favorite bad title. Still solid, still entertaining, but this particular issue is a 3 out of 5. The art hasn't kind of wowed me over with it either. It's kind of for a dark horror flavor to it, like something that you'd see in a horror book. And even the color tones are muted and dark, but even Batman seems brighter. But then we go to 4 out of 5 is Titans number 1. And this series is dropped for me pretty significantly. This was Omen tries to discover who messed up history by touching Barry and all the other members, and they go after Mammoth and Simon and Abracadabra. You think that sounds pretty freaking awesome, but had a lot of problems with the art in this book. But it's still there. And they are switching artists. So, and they're not messing around, at least for two arcs or for two, three issues. So I'll be happy to see that happen. We had Captain Kidd from Aftershock Entertainment, number one. It's kind of an old guy turns into a superhero. This is a Mark Waid, Brian Augustine. I don't like this pairing of creators when they write together for some reason. But it was a decent story. I think they did Exo Man of War for Acclaim too. They do a decent job, but when they work together, it's take it or leave it. Mark Waid too has been on the decline for me lately with his style and tone. It's just changed dramatically. It's very different from what I remember. Used to love his stuff. Now I'm on the fence. But we have, okay, Campbell said, Chris Campbell, my co-host on Gotham by Geeks, had started talking shit about the Creeper, and what it did was invigorate me to go reread all of the Creeper. So I own all the Beware of the Creeper titles, and I had the Beware of the Creeper Steve Ditko Omnibus. So I popped that open. Beautiful collector edition. They're like the Kirby Fourth World books as well. Good girl. Harley Quinn. And I read 4 through 6. This introduced Ripcord, which was his roommate. Jack Ryder's roommate, and had a villain called Proteus. Really enjoyable. I also read first issue special number 7, which was the Creeper versus Firefly. Yep, the Batman Firefly. And then for Gotham by Geeks, I had read that week Batman or Punisher Batman, and this was Batman versus Jigsaw, Punisher versus the Joker, Tim Drake versus Micro, Batman versus Punisher. What more can you ask for? It was a great team up, cross company team up. I had never read before. Really enjoyed it. Another 4 out of 5 is Wonder Woman number 3. This is the odd one, so it's the story that I wasn't as crazy about. Like the year one stuff is like high 4 out of 5s or 5 out of 5s, and the odds were 4 out of 5s. But they could go into the 3 out of 5s, but this particular issue is pretty good. And as it start increasing in number, really grew on me. This is where Wonder Woman agrees to help Cheetah in exchange for helping fighting Thermoscara. And then there's the Steve Trevor stuff going after that weird god. We have a Zenoscope book, Death Force number 1. This was a really good book we covered in Geek Brunch. And this is, unfortunately, this book has kind of like gone from really, really, really good to kind of mediocre. But the debut was fascinating because it's the origin story of a cop that was just at the wrong place at the wrong time. And he was a very righteous cop. And he got killed and his wife got killed. It's kind of like a Punisher story, but from a mystical type element, like going to hell and coming back for redemption, kind of like Spawn. And then one of the villains has some kind of mystical thing going on, and I still haven't figured out that out yet, what his deal is. I know he wants to destroy a lot of stuff, and we'll talk about that in later issues. We had Flash number 3. This was early on, the Star Labs training speedsters, and it was the first Godspeed. That was a number 3. Have Batgirl number 1. In China, she meets her friend in a hostel. That was Kai. When we all find out what a jerk that guy is, and it had Fruit Bat, so it was a good issue. At this time, I was reading Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man. I've been really enjoying it. I need to get back to it. I just haven't had time with all the DC I'm in taking and keeping up on. 8 through 11, this the Zodiac story concludes, and it had the Regent story arc begins. Iron Man stars and fights the Ghost. Really good stuff. Digging Spider-Man. And it's really a breath of fresh air to switch companies every now and then. Like today, I might be reading some books for Geek Brunch, which we haven't recorded in a while because of our schedules and being sick and all kinds of stuff. I got really ill. And then on top of that, I ate something bad. So I was already sick and then I got ill. So I have to cancel the last recording. And then Renato Jones, the 1%. This is an assassin of the 1%. And it was his origin story. Really fascinating. Highly recommended. Beautiful, beautiful artwork. Beautiful layouts. Recommend that book. If another 4 out of 5 is Red Hood and the Outlaws Rebirth. This book has been very solid. Very consistent. And this one was just a Jason Todd backstory, really well told, and a new mission. The art and story has been very consistent. The book has stayed in the same area. I think I even have a few 5 out of 5s for this. Really awesome. Now we get into the 5 out of 5s. We have Beware of the Creeper 1 through 3. This is versus Terran Proteus, who is a shape changer. He had a relationship with the Weather Girl. This was Ditko and O'Neill, who went by a name of Sergius O'Shignessy. And I didn't know that Denny O'Neill had a pen name. So that was something that I should have known because I know Denny O'Neill a lot. I mean, I know his books and stuff, but I never knew it. And I saw it in this book, and I was like, well, that's something new. We had Showcase number 73, first volume, which the first appearance of the Creeper in his origin stories, which I also own. So I own all the Creeper stuff. I may not have the one that went Vertigo. I'll have to take a look at that. I do have the Steve Niles Creeper and other stuff, but I may have missed the female Creeper that was in the Vertigo series, and I'll have to fill that in at some point. We have Action Comics 960. This is the Rebirth stuff. Battle with Doomsday. Doomsday senses Jonathan and kind of says, Squirrel goes after Jonathan because he senses Kryptonian, and Wonder Woman joined the battle. We have Detective Comics 937. This book is consistently a high 4 out of 5 or a 5 out of 5. It's one of my top 5 books still since it came out to now. It's one that I would highly recommend. This is Batman versus the Colony. And it shows Batman, Robin's technologies that he's building for the Bat family. And he has like a bat subway or a bat train that goes underground. It's pretty interesting. And this one also showed the inventory of the bat belt, which is really cool. So we got 5 out of 5. Another 5 out of 5 is Batman Dark Alliances. This one I am not sure I own, but I do own like my collective edition craze. There's volumes of the Batman Elseworld books. And I think this was in volume 1. I do want to get the original because this was a really good. This is my top book of that week. It was Howard Chaykin. And I love Howard Chaykin. I love his art. And I'll pretty much buy anything he does. You always hear podcasters, bad Howard Chaykin, good. Oh, fuck them. There's just only good Howard Chaykin. This is a World War II Batman story with white supremacist, and it also features Catwoman as a Hollywood woman. I really dug it. So that wraps up Mike M's Weekly Reads. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope the sound quality is okay. I usually use my headsets, but I decided to not since I had already started without them. I had my headsets on, but I saw the input device wasn't set to my headset, so I just kept on going. But You can reach me at mike@comicbooknoise.com. You could send me email there, and I will reply to you and also probably put something into the podcast itself. What else we have? My Twitter account is at Mike Myers Brunch. On Facebook, you can reach me at Geek Brunch Podcast with spaces in there. And then click the like button and you will follow all these episode threads. And I think that about wraps it up. I would love if you guys could leave an iTunes review. That we're still really low on Geek Brunch, so we could use anything that we can get. So thank you for listening, and I will talk to you very, very soon. Bye-bye.